We all wish we could talk to animals. As it turns out, we can. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley explores the nature of interspecies communication. What are our animals trying to tell us? Animals commune through love, a force that opens all doors. Listening to them teaches us how to be better humans. Why? We can trust them to tell us the deepest truth about who we are and how one can grow into a more powerful version of self. Laura shares over 20 years of stories and wisdom learned from her work as an animal communicator in this hard and thought-provoking show.
Welcome. I'm Laura Rowley, and you can listen to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. To learn more and for a full schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Dream Vision 7 Radio Network is the media partner for Omega Institute. Thank you for joining me today. This is your host, Laura Rowley. You can tune in and find out about me and my work a little bit if you'd like at my website, which is laurarowleyhealer.com. So my name, LaurarowleyHealer.com. I do private sessions by phone with people and their animals when they're trying to understand the nature of their relationship and how they can improve it. So that is my great joy and my life's work to have been able to do this work. And this show kind of takes a lot of the things, the wisdom I've learned from listening to years of clients and their animals and trying to convey it in a condensed way in little themes so that it means something to the rest of the world. Because I don't know, I feel very fortunate for what I do. I feel like I get to sit and listen to a lot of wisdom past my eardrums four mornings a week when I do my readings. And so this show is an effort to let other people tune in and congratulate themselves for their lives with their animals and the hopes that you'll see it in the rich and fascinating way that I get to see it when I work with my clients. And I think almost most of you do. And so today I have kind of a strange twist on the idea of a New Year's resolution. And that's an idea that I brought up in a couple of other different formats. But it would be the new year is 2022. Happy New Year, everyone. Hope you all had wonderful holidays. So could your pet help you transition into the next version of yourself for the next year? That's what the topic is today. This is some of the stuff I learned in the last 20 years from clients. They allowed their animals to show them a better way. A better way into what, you might ask? Well, here we are. We're into the idea of the New Year's resolution, right? It's the time of year when we all take stock, pause, and say, well, what do I want the next year to look like? What could be better? So the resolution evolves. And so I had the idea that we usually are better at making resolutions when we think about it in a positive way instead of a negative way. And I know that it's not a new idea, but I've been really just thinking about that lately. It's the oldest idea in the book. We all know that if you practice a new habit for at least 21 days in a row or a new idea for 21 days in a row, you are much more likely to continue that and wrap it into and fold it into your new life. So that's one way of making a better version of yourself, is just decide what you want to do and start to practice it. And all of a sudden, practice becomes a habit, and habit becomes a virtue, and virtue becomes part of your life, becomes you. So that's certainly wonderful. But I was wondering, well, how do you figure out which habit to pick up or which habit to break? Like, sometimes, you know how we have a nagging list of stuff that someday I'm going to do? You know that list. Someday I'm going to quit doing X or Y or start doing X or Y. So that list. And then there's the other list, which is more immediate, like maybe you have a pressure, I have to make more money, or my boss wants me to be more outgoing or more communicative, so I have an immediate need, something that maybe there's some outside pressure pushing you to make a decision on what it is you should improve on. So there's kind of two different lists, I think, that exist. One is your immediate stuff that other people need you to do or you need to do to be a successful human. Then there's the other one that has to do with maybe being a better version of yourself in general. And hopefully, I think you're happier when those two lists have a lot in common. It means usually that being a better person will also make you better at being your professional self or your family self. In other words, you're not making up a version of yourself to make other people happy. You're doing what you want to do to make yourself happy and to live your best life. So it's nice when those two lists have a lot of the same things in common. And so I thought it would be kind of fun, though, to develop a list based on, you know, who would I like to be or who would I like to be like? It's kind of a fun way to make it a little more interesting. So you're not just making a list of what you should be doing or what you haven't been doing. You're making a list of who you would like to be like. Who do you admire? So given that I'm an animal communicator, I know that most people admire their animals, their pets, their companion animals, like in a big way. And it's kind of fun to think about how they could help us as a friendly helper to develop the better version of ourselves. And that's what the stories are about today and some of the ideas that I've learned from my clients. And I think there's like kind of two ways to approach this. So you could ask yourself, what do you like about your dog or your cat or your horse, your gerbil? Like, what do you like about them? And then the other way to do it is, what do they like about you? So those are two different approaches to maybe coming up with a really good list of your New Year's resolution of how to be a better version of yourself. We always, I think, are happier when we're improving. Even if we're improving by micro movements, we feel better at the end of the day if we feel like we gave our life a good shot. It wasn't just passing us by. We decided to engage in it. So the idea of taking, maybe if you could ask your pet, what do they like, what do you like about them versus what do they like about you? So let's start with the first one. What do you like about them? I think that's easier. So if there's a virtue that your pet has or your companion animal, then it's something you admire, and it's something you probably want to fold into who you are, or maybe you already have folded into who you are, but you want to make it stronger, or you want to focus on it a little bit for 2022. Seems weird to even say that date, but it's here. Okay. So I've noticed this last year, just a collection of little stories I wanted to share with you, where people learn to look at what they liked about their animal as a way of focusing what they wanted to like better about themselves. So, for instance, Tom has a lovely dog named Luna. She's a mixed breed that he got at a shelter. And Luna's been with him a long time, a couple years now. They just love each other. They're doing great. I've talked to them a couple different times over the years. And the thing that Thomas said repeatedly is he is amazed because Luna is super loyal. Like he said, there's just nothing better. He's a young professional than coming home, turning the key, and there is Luna just, you know, amazingly happy to see him. And that loyalty, he realized, I don't know, has shaped his life. Because it just made him feel whenever he was a little down or a little lonely, there was Luna just being loyal. Like, I'm here. I love you. It's so great you're home. And that sense of homecoming to him was something he realized like he really needed more than he knew he needed, because he was a young, confident guy, you know. And so it was nice as we continued to talk for a couple. Luna had some little health problems that we had to help him with, based on he didn't know that she had hurt her leg before he got her. So he didn't understand why she was limping at times. So he needed to get her to a vet for some problems with one of her joints, and they sorted all that out. So then the next appointment we had together was kind of cool, because we just talked about how happy he was now because she was sounder and more mobile and happier, and that loyalty just kept shining through. And so Tom had reached a conclusion that he didn't think he was all that loyal to the people that he had in his life as we were talking. And it was interesting because he was so honest about it. And he said, I want to be as loyal to a person as Luna is to me. And so this later on evolved into him realizing that he had a serious girlfriend. And, you know, he was good to her. He loved her. But he realized he wasn't letting her know that she was his home. He wasn't acting really loyal to her in terms of that feeling you get when you open the door and you think, oh, I'm home. These are my people. So he ended up proposing to her after he talked to Luna about sort of the virtues of loyalty. So they didn't really need me to figure all that out, right? It just happened I was in on the conversation because Luna said to him, you have a lot to offer someone and you could be offering it. Why don't you? And he'd been a little afraid to commit to marriage and to a bigger sense of loyalty. And he and his girlfriend got married, changed their whole where he lived, how he functioned. He and his girlfriend and Luna are all a family now, embracing the idea of family loyalty. So that's an example, that's what I mean, of kind of noticing what you notice about your pet and what really makes you, you know, your heart swell when you're with them, and what you think about them is probably something that your soul is longing for. So if it's longing for it, why not embrace it? And so New Year's resolutions really shouldn't be hard work or about icky stuff, about stuff we should do. I should lose weight. I should exercise more. Yeah, we probably could do all that stuff. But it's much better if your heart swells with an idea so that you can proceed with it rather than doing something because you should look like the model person or have the model person's life. How about doing some resolution because it makes your heart happy? So that's what I'm talking about and how pets can help us with that. Another example was a horse named Bonnet. She was a paint horse. Some paint horses, the black and white ones, some are brown and white, but the black and white ones lots of times look like they're wearing a bonnet because they'll have black ears and a black forehead. So Bonnet belonged to Annalie, and Annalie talked to me extensively one day because she wanted me to thank Bonnet for the gift that Bonnet was giving Annalie. And that was Annalie would, a couple times a week, whenever she had a chance, go out to her barn and tack up Bonnet and take her for a trail ride where they were just out in nature together. It was, you know, just sort of walking and the rhythm of the horse moving along through the soft grass, through the fields, seeing deer, hearing the birds. And Annalie really just wanted me to tell Bonnet, thank you for this amazing thing you have shown me, which is really a connection with nature and how peaceful and meditative that can be. Annalie had originally purchased Bonnet a few years earlier to compete her. She was a very pretty horse, and she wanted to do some horse showing. And for a variety of reasons, that didn't end up being what they did together. And so Annalie just started to take Bonnet out for trail rides. It was easier, cheaper. She had the time to do it, just go out the back door, slip out for a half an hour, 45 minutes, versus all the expense and the rigmarole that it took to go show her Bonnet. So she wanted to make sure that Bonnet, who was highly trained, wasn't bored with this lifestyle change. Bonnet weighed in that she just loved it too, and that it was meditative and fun for her, and really welcomed this idea of being more meditative, not competitive, and just going for a walk for the love of being with nature. So Annalie, if she could be here today, would probably tell us that she wants to make her resolution be more about continued meditative connections with nature, because that always makes us more peaceful. I feel pretty comfortable saying that she would want to do that, because she told me repeatedly that was like the amazing thing for her in the last year. Another story of a person who looked at their dog. Marcos was the dog. And Marcos was some sort of a Rottweiler cross who had had a bad start in life. And Paul had adopted him, again, from another rescue. It's so amazing how many people, you know, go to shelters and take on these dogs that have had rough starts. And Marcos was really sickly when Paul took him on. He looked elderly and lame and had sores all over him. As Paul grew in his confidence on how to take better care of Marcos, Marcos started to get healthy and started to not look so old anymore. It just turns out he hadn't had a good meal or any nutrition in a long couple years, probably. And we'd worked together with that, and he'd worked with his vet on that. And Marcos started to all of a sudden become like this big Rottweiler cross that loved to go for the daily walks that initially were kind of heartbreaking because they were kind of daily limps, you know, through the park. And so what Paul really came to love about Marcos and was that despite all the bad things that had happened to Marcos and really how beaten down he was by his life, and who hasn't felt like that in their own life, right? A little beaten down, a little worn down. Marcos, like, decided to bounce back. You know, he decided to not let life and the start he had, probably half of his life was pretty rotten. You know, dogs don't live very long. So Marcos took the second half of his life and, like, couldn't wait to go out the door, and the two of them went for a run every morning in the park. And Paul said, you know, just thank Marcos for me, for showing me that even when life is hard, don't curl up in a ball and feel sorry for yourself. Go out and seize the day, you know, go be out and exercise and find a healthier way. Because Paul said that, you know, some of the stuff that had happened in his life had made him kind of curl up. He'd had a bad divorce. You know, he just kind of worked too hard. He wasn't exercising. He wasn't eating well. So he realized that Marcos, once given the opportunity to have nutrition and exercise, was showing him the way. Like, let's go thrive. Let's not just, you know, be a grumpy person that doesn't feel good all the time. Let's go thrive. And so they're happily still doing that. They're definitely, such a great example to everyone, certainly to me. Another person that I recently spoke to was Pam, and Pam has this beautiful, sweet little kitty. It's a little gray and white cat that her name is Sonnet. And Sonnet taught Pam something interesting, because Pam is intense. If you just said, who is Pam? You would say, Pam's that intense person over there, because she's super productive and has this amazing list of everything she's going to get done every day, and she gets it all done, and she's very high-strung and very successful because she's always gets it done. So Sonnet made a point, though, and I think this is not the first time I've heard this from cat owners. Sonnet made a point of cruising into the office where Pam was doing her list, and Pam is in something that is an IT kind of a job, and Sonnet would just flop on the keyboard while Pam was working and just sort of purr and chill and act out like, oh, I always do this. This is my thing, you know? So Pam wanted to know, what's up with this? Like, I don't want to kick my cat off my keyboard, but I'm working, and I kind of need to kick my cat off my keyboard. But what is she trying to tell me? She looks me in the eyes and is purring and laying on my keyboard, and I'm kind of freaking out because she's pressing all the keys and locking the keyboard up, and what do I do? What's she trying to say? So we tuned in, we talked to Sonnet, and Sonnet, as you can imagine, almost everybody can probably grasp this story, was trying to tell her to calm down and be peaceful, like step away from your keyboard for a moment, pet the cat, find a way, in other words, to embrace some calmness and some peacefulness with her highly productive life, because we're always happier when we're in balance. Pam got laughing about it pretty hard because she said, I knew you were going to tell me that. And I said, well, why did you wait to listen to the animal communicator when you already knew it? You know, I was just teasing her. And she said, well, I didn't really want to admit that I'm cranked so tight now these days that it's actually hard for me to relax, like to stand up and stretch, almost as painful. And there's the cat languidly laying across the keyboard. And I said, well, look at what she's showing you, right? She's showing you maybe that you need to go stretch or stand up, move around, change what you're doing, change it up a little bit. And so Pam did that, and then later on gave me, I love it when people send me a little email follow-up. Sometimes I get to talk to them again shortly after, but even the email means a lot to me because then I get to know sort of the end of the story because I always end up in the middle of the story. And Pam told me that she had decided, because Pam is highly organized, so of course Pam did this in an organized way, that every, I don't know, 45 minutes she was going to stand up, do a little stretch, maybe go get a glass of water, walk around the outside of her house for a minute and pet the cat when she came back in, and then sit back down and start again. And, you know, just laughing that since she started to do that, Sonnet had actually moved from a window out in her living room into a little bed next to where she worked and had stopped sitting on the keyboard so far. So in other words, Sonnet sort of represented, I don't know, peace, right? And peace had sort of moved into her office with her. And Pam thought that was super cool and was thanking me for helping her see something that she probably had seen all along, which I think is true of most of our resolutions. Lots of times we know exactly what we need to do, but we need someone to nudge us or somebody that is maybe an animal into embracing the next better version of ourselves. So thanks for listening. We'll take a break now. This is Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley.
Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love? What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit laurarowleyhealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LauraRowley healer.com.
Quantum Jumps presents a radical new paradigm that we exist in an interconnected holographic multiverse in which we literally jump from one parallel universe to another. In a moment, you can become smarter, more confident, happier, more outgoing, more effective, in better relationships, with more willpower. When you sense a new connection to another possible you, living the life you prefer, immerse yourself naturally into that new state of being. And voila, you've made a quantum jump. Supported by scientific research, Quantum Jumps is an inspirational book backed with practical tools to help you live a happier, more prosperous life. Learn more at quantumjumps.com.
Are you searching for a way to help create global change? Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's vision is to have an eclectic group of radio hosts dedicated to educating, enlightening, and helping humankind with positive messages and tools that enhance lives using different modalities and programs. If you would like to join our team and help illuminate the universe, call Deborah at 508-226-1723 or Deborah at dreamvision7radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, and you're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We were talking about New Year's resolutions and how they can be kind of tricky things, but they can also be glorious. We can decide to change and become a better version of ourselves. And I was talking about how sometimes people's pets point the way towards something we like about them. We like a certain characteristic that they have. And we maybe see that we could bring it into our own life. And we could kind of laugh at ourselves when we do it that way. It's kind of fun to do something in conjunction with your pet versus making a list and making yourself be responsible and doing it kind of the hard way. Well, I should be doing this. I should be exercising. I should be losing weight. I should be working harder or whatever. There's nothing wrong with doing it that way if that's how you work. But this could be an adjunct, which is almost like, well, what do I like about my cat or my dog or my horse? And why don't I try to be a little bit more like them? In other words, it's easier to do something when we admire it in another. You know, kind of the whole idea, assume a virtue if you have it not, which is what Shakespeare famously wrote. So you can assume a virtue. That's really what the whole idea of a New Year's resolution is anyway, right? So I was telling you some stories about people that had assumed the virtues of their pets. And there was another one that I thought was kind of cool. It was a story about Poppy. Poppy is this fierce little crossbred terrier. She's got a lot of attitude. Nobody can really tell her what to do. You know, if you tell her to be quiet, she keeps barking. If you try to take her on a walk, she barks at people when she's going on a walk. So I got to know Jim, her owner, a couple of years ago when he first adopted Poppy. And he was like, oh, this dog is such a handful. I just follow her around. And she basically bosses the world around. She bosses me around. And I don't mind that so much. You know, but can you help me with a few of these things where I'm kind of getting in trouble with my neighbors over it or, you know, the barking? So it was an ongoing thing. We did a few appointments in a row to kind of help Poppy realize that she needed to bend a little and be a little bit better neighbor and a little better friend to Jim. And so while we were doing this series of chats where the two of their relationship was evolving into something really beautiful and a lot more cooperative, so Poppy will always be Poppy. She's always going to be a cocky little thing. Jim realized that he was really allowing Poppy to boss him around all the time. And he kind of liked it. You know, she was like 8 pounds and he's this big guy. And he kind of thought it was amusing. And I said, well, that is amusing, and you do whatever you want to do because that's cool. But if she's also driving you a little crazy and your neighbor's a little crazy with some of her behaviors, maybe she's trying to show you that you could be a little bit more proactive about what you want out of the deal, what you want out of this relationship. And so Jim, you know, he's a funny guy, and he laughed, and he's like, well, do I count here, you know, in this relationship? And, you know, because Poppy's such a force to be reckoned with. But when we got talking about it, it turns out that really Poppy got quieter and meeker and more obedient the more Jim took on her temperament. The more he got a little more confident, and he started to put a couple of his own thoughts into actions, like, quiet, please, I really want you to stop barking, now I'm working. Or it's late at night, the neighbors are sleeping in an apartment building, that's enough, be quiet and go lay down. I mean, those were reasonable requests for Poppy. She didn't need to just stand there and bark at nothing. And Jim said, you know, Poppy has taught me confidence, like that I can take what I want, like his desire, and sort of turn it into a way of life. Like, I want a quiet apartment, and I want neighbors that like me. I want to be proud of my dog and laugh about how my dog bosses me around, but there's a certain point where it's not actually that funny. It's kind of awful, right? Because everybody's upset with him all the time about the dog barking. And he didn't enjoy it either. So Poppy, by sort of showing him this, you know, bad girl behavior, showed him that he could be his own internal bad boy. Like, what do I want out of this? Now, you be quiet over there and you behave yourself and let me give you a little snack. You could sit on your bed and that's enough of this barking. So what did she teach him? Really, the confidence to voice his desires and turn them into actions or part of his life. You know, to concrete what he wanted into an actual thing. He said, to be honest with you, everyone bosses me around. I'm kind of meek. He's a lovely, kind person, a very soft man. But he wasn't weak. He was just soft. And he realized, I could actually be kind and soft, but I could also have some conviction of and some courage to sort of say, this is what I want out of my life, and this is how I'm going to have it. And their relationship, we speak frequently, because it's fun and interesting for Jim to do this work as sort of a self-discovery mission. That's a lot of what my clients end up working with me on, is they let their animals show them who they want to become. And he's a prime example of that. And I admire his, I don't know, courage to do that, to just sort of decide to grow. It's pretty amazing. So those are a few examples of what we can do when we decide. One approach would be, what do we like about them? And then another approach, when we're trying to figure out how we want to write our New Year's 2022 resolution, is, what do they like about you? So the reverse. What do they like about you? So what does your animal like about you, your companion or your companions? So when you think about that, that's a little trickier, huh? And why is that trickier? Ask yourself, why is that hard? What immediately comes to mind is probably the first thing you should think about. Because you have to examine, really, what's good about you when you ask the question that way. And I don't think we're great at doing that in our world. We sometimes are quick to give away our power or our virtues and not really embrace them and say, well, yeah, I'm a pretty good person. But if we want to make New Year's resolutions, it's really powerful when we decide to make them out of the idea that I already have a lot of things in place that are pretty good. What if I just made those stronger or more cohesive in my life, or brought them to the forefront in my life? So that's the idea with that one, and that's a very positive way to make your resolutions, right? So sometimes when you think about your animal, you know, like, you're not just, they don't love you just because you're the hand that feeds them. You know, you're the person that fills the food bowl, or the person that always takes them for a walk when they want to go for a walk, or pets them when they want to be petted, or grooms them when they want to be groomed. There's more to it than that, or we wouldn't just have animals to be slaves to them, right? So what's good about you? What do they like about you? It's a really great question, and I'm encouraging you right now to pause while I'm talking about this and think, well, what does my animal like about me? Because whatever it is, I'm going to make it. I'm going to shine a light on it and make it bigger in my own world. Animals work hard, I find, at accommodating us and supporting us. Not just because we feed and walk them. We all know how great they are at being service animals. if you've ever just watched a blind person walk across a street with their dog helping them. Now, that dog isn't doing it because the guy feeds him or the girl feeds him. The dog is doing it because he loves being that supportive, beautiful being. And we all know, those of us, millions of us who have pets, that there's something really deep and amazing that happens when you have a pet and when you let them in your life, because they like to support us, because they see something good in us. So I want to focus on being the thing that is good in you, right? And when you start to focus on the thing that's good in you, instead of I'm fat, or I should lose weight, or I should exercise more, the typical New Year's resolution stuff, what about some ideas like, well, I'm kind. So I resolved to sort of show that to the world more. We don't often compliment ourselves in that way, do we? Or how about, I'm smart. I'll stop pretending that I'm overwhelmed by life. I'll get a change of attitude that has a lot more self-congratulations in it. You know, how often do we come home after a long day or an arduous event and say to ourselves, you know, you did pretty well with that. Instead of thinking to yourself, oh, that was so overwhelming, it was too much, right? How often do we say, damn, I was good, right? I did it. Even if I tend to, I was speaking to someone the other day who had a job interview. It was another animal client of mine, and they walked in the door really excited because they had a job interview that went super well, and they thought they were going to get the job. And when they walked in the door, they were really happy, and their dog started to bounce all around the place. They have this little beagle creature, and the beagle, her name is Lily, was mirroring how happy Marcy was, because Marcy thinks she nailed the job. So that she walks in the door, and the dog doesn't know she went on a job interview, right? But her energy was so high and so excited that, you know, Lily started to do the zoomies, you know, that thing where they start to run in circles and bark and scoot around the outside of furniture and bark and run. And they both had a party about, like, wow, we really did well. You know, like, we're enjoying the fact that our energy is high, and that even if she doesn't get the job, Marcy went and conquered and did her best. And so Marcy, in her conversation, wanted me to tell Lily that she loved that Lily reminded her to sort of have a party about the happy times and the fun things. Because if we have a party and we have a happy time about fun things, then, you know, our energy increases. And as our energy increases, we're more likely to have more of those events drawn to us. And let's just face it, life is better. Right? So appreciating kind of what you bring to the table as a human being, like being kind or being smart, is a way of offering, I don't know, your unique self, your unique services to the world at large. It's a way of saying, well, I've got a gift to give, and whatever it is, whatever that gift is, I'm humorous, I've got a great sense of humor, I'm organized. Doesn't matter what the gift is. It's a gift. And if we start to look at the things that we have as traits and celebrate them within ourselves, that in itself is a pretty great resolution. Just to say, I'm going to amplify who I am, that I, the things about myself that I like about myself, because my pet showed me what they liked about me. Right? You're listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
What if your dog, cat, or horse could help you with your love life? What would they suggest? It's fun to think about and a wonderful way to conduct yourself. After all, animals know well how to love and invite us to love them unconditionally. That's a pretty great way to live life. Animals always communicate with our highest good as their central focus, even when sometimes we feel stymied or frustrated with their behavior. Visit LauraRowleyHealer.com to book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading. Laura's readings and workshops help you find the part of you that's able to tune in and connect to your amazing animals. Laura Rowley believes we can all understand by listening differently. Book a workshop or private long-distance phone reading now by going to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's L-A-U-R-A-R-O-W-L-E-Y healer.com. Animal Connections with Laura Rowley is an intuitive show created for you to learn what it's like to talk to animals. Laura shares 20 years of experiences of being a pet psychic and healer every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, media partner for the Omega Institute. Our beloved animals share our lives and have amazing insights into our well-being, providing us with opportunities for personal growth once we truly begin to listen. It's fun to use animal wisdom to enhance our emotional and spiritual world. Who better than our furry friends to teach us the wisdom born of unconditional love?
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Welcome back. This is Laura Rowley, and you are listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley on syndicated Dream Vision Radio Network. I have the privilege of being on every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen online or on your mobile devices. If you go on the website, Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, you can see all the shows are lined up with myself and all the other hosts, and you can go back into the archives and listen to old ones. It's all there at your fingertips to enjoy, and hopefully you do. I really appreciate so many people have tuned in and listened and given me such great feedback, and I appreciate all that. Immensely. It's a privilege to be able to do the show. And you can look at my website, which is laurarowleyhealer.com, LaurarowleyHealer.com. I do private sessions by phone with your animals and you. I have an assistant that will set you up if you call 352-369-5993. Karen Klein has worked for me for years. She's great at setting you up. She'll get you either an appointment with me in person, or I also do workshops. I can come to your home or place of business. If you get a group together, we can do a workshop, which is kind of fun because I help people develop their own sense of intuition and a little bit of a version of what we're doing today, which is how to be a better version of yourself, knowing what you know about what your dog or your cat or your horse, your animal is teaching you about life and, you know, where you shine. They're positive and fun workshops because it has to do with getting comfortable with the idea that as human beings, it's best when we let ourselves shine. And so, as we embrace the new year, 2022, I guess the question is, where do you shine? And what do you want to do about it? And if you ask for New Year's resolutions like that, then it feels like, you know, you're empowered, and it's just easy because it's who you are. So who you are and how you shine is often shown to you by your animals. And so in my work, I have the fun job very fun job of getting to watch people shine with their animals because they call me up and tell me funny stories and we hash through everything together. And I spoke to a woman, Betty, and she has a couple of cats, but she's got this one cat called Elmo, and he's a orange and white male cat. You know, a lot of those orange and white cats are big tomcats. And he had been a street creature that used to torment everyone in the neighborhood because he would kind of yowl all night and walk through the different neighborhoods and get all the other cats kind of disturbed. He'd pee on everybody's garbage cans. You know, he was like the little street fighter cat that lived in her neighborhood. So Betty decided to befriend him by putting really delicious food like sardines out in the evening so that he would stop on her porch. And she started to make a point of when he stopped being so skittish, she started to sort of sit kind of quietly on a stoop outside when she thought he might visit because he had a whole routine of where he went. And, of course, he started to linger longer and stay longer and eventually adopted her as his new person. She was very privileged to do so because everybody kind of loved and hated Elmo in her neighborhood because he was super cool, but he was elusive and definitely just feral. You know, no one knew if he'd even ever had, a life with a home or a person. So Betty had called me initially to kind of find out about Elmo and where he'd come from, and I think he had one of those lives where he was feral and his mother moving all the, lots of times feral cats will take, you know, they'll have babies and they'll move them around a lot to try to keep them safe from predators or in an effort to keep them away from people or cars. And they sometimes, especially young mothers, will start to move them around so obsessively that they lose one or two. Like the animals can't keep up with moving around from nest to nest. So Elmo kind of raised himself. I don't know how old he was when his mom lost him, but he was fortunate to have done so outside on, near a porch where another cat lived, that, and they fed their cat outside, so Elmo was the recipient of that bowl of food every night. So Betty decided to become, she was sort of determined. She liked Elmo. She thought he was cool, and she just felt sorry for him. So before very long, he started to visit her porch with frequency. And then he actually started to kind of come near. She never got up and offered to pet him. She would just sit there and talk. And one of the things that Betty liked to do, she's an artist, was paint outside. But she never really had much time to do so because she did graphic arts, so she had to be inside with her computer. So when she would go outside to try to feed Elmo with sardines, when she thought she might get to see him, she'd take a sketch pad and maybe sketch some of the things outside and just start to develop her artistry that was less computer, less about being on the computer and more about, you know, being in nature. And she kind of started to crave the idea of being a landscape artist. But she kind of thought, oh, that's what other people do. I'm a graphic artist and I'm not really good enough to do the landscape stuff. So Elmo, in his own weird way, led her into this idea that she realized she really needed to just practice what she wanted to be. If she wanted to be a landscape painter, then she needed to paint outside and learn how to do good trees and learn how to do outside buildings. And so Elmo started to kind of sit near her while she painted outside. So then she started to move her easel outside. She had a porch there. And she thought, well, why aren't I sitting out there? She got a better chair out there. And then Elmo started to really hang out with her. So she was really surprised because she was spending more and more time outside trying to lure Elmo into her life. And the more she did that, the better she got because she was a good artist. And she realized some of her art was starting to come out like pretty well, and she would be so happy while she was painting that she would almost forget about Elmo for a second while he was over there chewing his sardine. And then one day she looked down and he was sitting on her foot. while she was painting. And she was very cool and collected, Betty. She didn't, like, freak out and, you know, try to pet him. She just pretended. She said, oh, you know, hi, it's nice to meet you. She, by then, had named him Elmo in her own head. And she's like, Elmo, I'm so glad you're joining me, and I'm just going to sit here and keep painting because this is really awesome that you're here with me, and thank you for trusting me. So Elmo did trust her. And Elmo told me in our conversation that she gave off such beautiful energy when she quit really sort of striving to be with him and started striving to be an artist, because she was giving off this energy of happiness and self-sufficiency. So all of a sudden, Elmo started to think, she's seriously cool. I like this one. I'm going to pick this one instead of the other neighbors. And before long, he moved in with her. You know, she started to leave the door open behind her, and he would wander in and out of the house, and she started to move the sardines into the house instead of just out of the house. Before long, you know, he had moved in and slept on the couch. You know, a super happy story that many people have participated in letting an animal that needs a home, you know, come and live with them. But also a super lovely story about a person that really wanted more out of her own talents and sort of needed the incentive or a little reminder to let magic flow through her and not just think she had to go be a good girl and do her computer-generated graphic stuff, that she could, you know, do her own free-flowing work. And Betty knew that she was going to evolve into a different kind of artist over the years and had a whole new face in that because she was practicing. And Elmo basically was her practice partner, right? Another cool example of an animal showing a person what they liked about them was this little dog, Paco. Paco was some sort of Chihuahua cross. Paco was kind of, crabby, I guess I would say, when I first met them. Mark wanted to know why Paco was so crabby. And it turns out that Paco had some undiagnosed digestive issues. I think he had a bad stomach ache, like a lot of the time. So Mark needed to change his food and talk to the vet about what they could do for some like irritable bowel syndrome stuff. And so Paco got a lot happier and, you know, started to eat better and wanted to go out more, wanted to be petted, you know, started to engage in life more. And Mark wanted to make sure that Paco was as good as he could be. Like, did he fix everything in our second or third conversation? And Paco had some interesting things to say about Mark. And basically he said, well, now that I'm happier, Paco is happier, I'm kind of smiling more, I guess would be the idea. Dogs do sort of smile. But, you know, he was showing me a picture of being joyful. And he said, how come Mark doesn't do that much? My happiest things is for Paco was when he could hear Mark laugh. He showed me a picture of Mark laughing, like a real belly laugh. And Mark said, Mark was pretty serious. You know, he's got a really responsible job. And he said, you know, I don't laugh that often. It's interesting he said that about me. Are you sure you got that right? So I asked Paco again. I said, you know, did I get that right? And he said, yeah, that's the whole thing is I like it when he laughs. It makes me realize that we both need to laugh more. Like, you know, he needs to lighten up, basically, and have a little more fun in life. And so I told Mark that. You know, he was a little taken back about that. He was being the serious owner, making sure he had done everything he could for the dog. But the dog just was sort of saying, okay, now that we got it, why don't we turn into, like, a man and a dog that are more fun instead of a man and a dog that went through a lot of trouble together. We're done with the trouble. I feel fine. There's no more serious stuff to lay down here. And I guess that's true in life, right? Sometimes we've figured out a lot of our troubles. We've gotten over our hurdles. We've climbed our mountains. We've reached the summit, you know, and we need to maybe go, yay. So maybe your resolution for 2022 doesn't have to be about what you have to change or, you know, improve. Maybe the best version of yourself is actually to appreciate really how far you've come. You know, I guess that's something we don't do that well. Excuse me, my voice is a little wintry. So just embracing, wow, I did it. This is, you know, congratulating yourself. And I think almost every animal I speak to, and I speak to hundreds of them a month, that's what they tell me, is I wish the person had more fun. So maybe that's a good way to embrace your resolution, is just to say, I'm going to be the better part of myself that is fun and happy, and set your goals around that. And that can be pretty easy. And I'm hoping, as your hostess today, that your 2022 is super easy and super fun, and that it's filled with fulfillment and a lot of laughter and a lot of love. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. This is Laura Rowley, and you've been listening to Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Animal Connections with Laura Rowley. Heard every Friday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join Laura next time to discover how you can embrace the wisdom flowing from your loved animals. Communication starts with an intention to understand. Each week, Laura helps you find your own unique ability to create a better understanding of yourself as taught through the loving eyes of your animals. To connect with Laura Rowley, go to laurarowleyhealer.com. That's LaurarowleyHealer.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.